Andrea, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
I am thrilled to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about you before we go into today's exciting topic.
Where should I begin? So as you know, I'm a balance and relationship advisor. That is the context of where I serve now, but all my licensees and certifications and training comes from being a clinical social worker, psychotherapist, trauma specialist, sexologist, and relationship expert, just to name a few. Where I know I have really young, good skin, but I've been in the business for well over 25 years before I became an entrepreneur. This May will be 12 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So many different things that are so interconnected and very powerful, especially in the day and age that we live in. I always find it interesting that although, you know, it's like as humans, we've been around for so long, but, you know, communications, relationships is still the biggest challenges we have as people. So just, I know this is a big question, but why is that? Why is it so difficult?
Humans are special, right? That's my clean answer. We are very complex and layered, and as simple as it is to just open your mouth and communicate, it's not the easiest thing to do because there's so much calcified chaos within us based on our upbringings, our culture, the conventional wisdom from society that has told us to do, be, say, have, or don't believe that you can be, do, say, or have a certain thing unless you follow a toted line, which for most of us, especially if you're talking about ambitious humans that are on the career path, climbing the ladder, let alone creating their own organizations as small business owners and entrepreneurs, it gets really challenging when you want to do something daring and audacious. You want to have a great new love, different from maybe your parents who are divorced, who you love, who are great humans. You want to have a healthier relationship with your friends, maybe different than what you saw from your mama when you saw all of her gossiping, you know, cackling folk. Or you want to have a different version of life lived, your lived experience, not being head down for 18 hours a day at work and barely sleeping and barely eating and having health challenges. But those contexts that we grew up in, those things that we're most familiar with, are what pull us back into thinking that we can't do anything different. Mm-hmm. So when we attract other humans in work, in relationship, as platonic friends that are exciting to us because they're showing us a new way, we want to lean into it, but we find ourselves really being distracted by those unhealed wounds. And it can become a loop that is really difficult to break.
Mm. And I think it's so relatable to anybody who's listening and to myself as well, right? It's it's so, I mean, you mentioned so many interesting points, but one that really kind of I connect with is that, you know, our parents do the best that they can raising us, and they just do what they know. And oftentimes, I think for me personally, it took me years to get to a point where I was like, wait a minute, doesn't have to be this way. It's not. Right. They, you know, they did it because that's what they thought was that, like, that was the best thing they could do with information they had available. And it took, you know, well into my 30s to be like, wait a minute, why am I like this? Do I have to be like this? No, so it's very interesting. Do you find that, you know, what I always wonder is like, how can I get to that place faster? Like, you know, it's like, what else am I missing? Like, what is there like a magic formula to say, like, you know, how can I just be the best that I can be regardless of whatever I've observed in my life when it comes to relationships?
Yeah, I mean, that is a powerful question, Elena, because there are so many layers to that question. If you want to start something new, the first thing you have to do is be self-aware that something new needs to happen in the first place. Many humans are so caught in the loop that is their normality. And anything outside of it, although it might pique their interest, it might make them go down their YouTube rabbit hole, you know, whatever it is, to just listen in a little bit more in terms of actually implementing to break those boxes, to break those patterns, to break those chains of, I dare say, generational curses and all the things that we've been enveloped in, sometimes without even knowing that this isn't normal, until you see something different and you're like, whoa, why aren't you guys yelling, screaming, fussing? Why aren't you handling life the same way that I grew up? Sometimes it'll pique us enough that we want to ask questions, but most of the time we're so unaware because we are booked and busy and refusing to slow down and see that the way that we are living is a very complacent style, regardless of how overburdened or overwhelmed you are. you're stuck in that complacency because you're not choosing to look at your truth. So to answer your second part of your question about the formula, I got formulas for days on every level.
Tell us.
I have a formula for what I call work life and love balance. And this is for whoever is wanting to either ready themselves for love, or maybe they're in a loving relationship and just want to do it a little differently. It's T like toy over B like boy. The T stands for admitting the truth of what you really want, not just what you need. We all need shelter. We all need safety. We all need food. So let's get away from the obvious. Like, yes, you need money to come in to pay for sustainability in life, at least if you live in this earth that we walk in now. But what do you really want outside of being able to sustain? What do you truly want? T. And then the B is the boundaries that you create so you can achieve that truth as your reality. Mm. Boundaries can be healing. They can be strengthening, but they should be expansive. They shouldn't make you feel like you're in a rigid, tight, suffocating bubble because you don't want to talk to anyone. Oh no, they might ask me to step away from my boundary or to step away from my project. Mm-hmm. You should feel confident enough. And when I use this word should, I'm saying it from the context of if utopia had been invented for you, right? If you have the right supports of other women, if you happen to be a woman, if you have the right trusting, loving relationships of your partner, whoever your partner is, if all those dotted I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, that's the should in that context. But if you do have that and you haven't leaned into them, you really need to look at why are my boundaries, whatever they may be, or however little they are, so rigid and tight that you feel like you can't live life fully. That is a problem. And so I ask people, especially our clients, whether they come in through our incubator or in our private advisory, what do your boundaries look like around the time for your faith? Whatever that is for you. Mm-hmm. For us, faith is whatever's pulling you forth. So if you are a mission-driven careerpreneur or entrepreneur or intrapreneur, something is pulling you forth. So where is your time to dedicate just for that? Just for you to listen to your intuition, to your higher self. If you say, well, Nikita, which I hear often, I'm up at 4 a.m., I barely get 5 hours of sleep, and that sleep is broken because I'm constantly thinking about all the work and all the things I have to do. I'm doing 14 plus meetings a day. And the last time I checked, I think I almost peed on myself 4 times, right? Like, because I don't even break just for the bio breaks. If that's what your day is looking like, then other people are running your day. Mm-hmm. Your nervous system that's dysregulated is running your day. Mm-hmm. Your higher self is not running your day. And part of it is because you don't have time to nourish yourself and to make that space. And of course, there's like personal habits. Are you eating right? Are you exercising? Are you, you know, hitting your dopamine in healthy ways versus doing it through scrolling on Instagram and TikTok and wanting to check a box that way. And we kind of go over these 5 permission zones of boundaries to really make sure that their truth is protected so they can become whatever it is that they're desiring, because you do ultimately get to create your reality, but you got to make space for it.
Yeah, I love it that you kind of really dove into that that self-awareness and the about you piece, because we often this is what we kind of see right and hear in conversations, like, well, what I'm looking for, or what is it I want, but more on external versus like, what am I actually doing, and do I actually want that, or like, do I truly want that? And a lot of times, I mean, guilty, we end up in relationships where you're like, wait a minute, that's not really what I'm not even sure why I'm here, right? But you got there, you made the choice, so it was coming from somewhere. And I feel like a lot of people in that situation, and I mean, yeah, it's I mean, again, totally guilty of being there, but it's hard to recognize until you're like, okay, and like, for some people, it takes longer than others. But it's I love it that you said, like, that's, it starts with you essentially, and all these other pieces that we don't always think about.
Yeah. Elena, you made a really good point, that we could take towards the business and career goal relationships, you know, those colleagues that you wish they would have never walked down the hallway and became the person that you started that platonic friendship with, because you realized that they were toxic. You realized that they were really just trying to get into your head so they could steal your ideas, you know, whatever that is, all the way through the sisterships, or, you know, if you're a guy, the homeboys, whatever guys are calling each other now, you know, those platonic relationships, all the way through the romantic ones. if you are a human walking this earth, everyone has a story of how did I let that person in my life?
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're really honest with yourself, mm-hmm. for everyone who's listening to this show, I'm the number one balance and relationship advisor in the world. And I can tell you, I've definitely had more than a handful of those stories in my life across different types of relationships. And when I look back at them, the way that I, you know, stopped making the same mistake over and over is I looked at what did I get out of it? Mm-hmm. There was a reason that I attracted that person to me. I remember one of my accountability partners that I sat with. My husband is a different human, right? Like we have a business together that we both own, but I work in the business and he only works on the business. So it's kind of mm-hmm. different in our energy and our experience. Especially, I'm a verbal processor. So I want to talk to my business bestie, right? Like I want to have those conversations. And he is very introverted, creative, right? Like give me the sentence. I don't need the paragraph. Like he's mm-hmm. a very different person. So I was wanting and seeking that person that could hear me fully in that way. When it came to the business, you know, mm-hmm, the minutia mm-hmm. that you and I have to deal with all the details. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what I want. That's what I'm attracted. And I did. I attracted someone who was like that. I didn't specify, please let them not be backbiting and right. Like I didn't specify that when I put that out there, but I have to take ownership for mm-hmm. the reality that I was so wanting and I dare say desperate to have someone who just mm-hmm. got it, who was ambitious and unapologetic about it and could be okay with being multifaceted and what the kids say now, multi-hyphenated. Mm-hmm. And all the different ways of their experience. And I definitely attracted that one. There are a good person to this day. I will say they are a good person when you just look at the shell, but they weren't a great person for me as a mm-hmm. friend. Like the way that they handled business life and some of the other things wasn't mm-hmm. great for me. But I didn't specify that when I put that energy out wanting to attract. So really looking at what is it that you wanted that you put out into the energy of the universe before you even came upon that person or before you actually spoke to them. What is it that you wanted? What is it that you were excited about? Because we opened the door and let them sit on our couch for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Like our proverbial couch. We let them come in. What were we getting out of it? Now, this doesn't mean that we're blaming ourselves for toxic, shameful, violent, or any of those kind of behaviors, but do look at what window, if anything, was open in your life that allowed them to even see that there was an opportunity to enter. And once you realize it, well, now you're like, okay, well, let me close that window, put some nails in it, shut it down, you know, board it up. Hell, I'll move the whole house, right? Like, make sure that that kind of energy doesn't come in again. But that works in business and life and in your romantic relationships.
And it's powerful because it makes you take accountability and that self-awareness piece. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what can I do better? But if you put it on the external factors and like, oh, it's not me. And I have, no matter how good or bad this person was, right? But just saying, what was my role in it? Because then you can do better next time. And if you, until you have that difficult conversation with yourself, which is very difficult to have and uncomfortable, and you're like, and then you realize, like, oh, how long have I been doing this to myself? You know, and you're like, why didn't I stop this earlier? And so it's that's the powerful aspect of it. Yeah. I'm curious in your experience, and I hear my mom say this all the time. She's like, well, you know, relationships, if we're talking about romantic relationships, they're just so difficult. You know, back when, you know, your dad and I met, it was just so simple. And we didn't have all this social media and all this comparison. And there was, we weren't talking about, nobody cared who wore what or what who had what money. It was really true love. That's what she said. Like, you would love somebody for them. Versus today, it seems different. Do you see that as true? Like, what has changed? Why is it difficult, it seems, to be in a healthy relationship today?
Your mom is a wise woman. She's definitely not wrong. So make sure she hears this episode. She knows that she's getting a pat on the back from me. She's not wrong. And in this space of A&D, there's truth and there's exaggeration, right? You know, back in the day, depending on the age of your mother, if it, let's just assume it's 40, 50 years ago, there was a different version of hierarchy that they had to jump through, right? There was classism. If you came from a certain family, how dare you be with my son, or how dare you think you could be with my daughter, right? Like depending on the culture and the community. So that was a different version that they had to deal with based on what society accepted or stated was okay. The neighborhood that you lived in, the color of your skin, the accent that you did or did not have, like all of those things really matter. So in some ways, mama, She's simplifying, right?
Right.
But she's also very right. You know, my kids are 26 and 22. I cannot imagine navigating with the brain that you have at 22 and 26 years old and the experiences that you don't have quite yet that mm-hmm. would shore you up, having to deal with the nonsense that goes on social media. You know, as a business owner and as a woman, we deal with trolls, we deal with people sexualizing us, like we deal with all that. They deal with it on a whole nother level. And if you are mm-hmm. anywhere under 38 years old, you're probably also dealing with a version that they are, where everything is let's connect in the DM, but you have my cell phone number. Why are you communicating with me here? Or you're mad at me now, so you're going to take all of my text messages or all of my DMs and share them with the world. And I'm not even talking about the intimate mm-hmm. photos and images mm-hmm. and things that you just want to share with the other human that you thought mm-hmm. honored your soul and your body. It is challenging from that perspective, but it's not impossible. It's just now we have to be mindful that there are some new players on the board. Same mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. just new players. That's all mm-hmm. it is. And those new players have a different way of maneuvering. So even the rules haven't changed. It's just mm-hmm. the new players and the personalities that we have to deal with. The reality comes back to always, if you are self-aware of you and you are intentionally selfish enough to be mindful of what you need for you to stay full, then not too much toxic anything is getting in because you're already full. You can't mm-hmm. pour anything to a full cup. You definitely can mm-hmm. if it's half or if it's a quarter full. Mm-hmm. You thirsty. You taking in all the stuff and you're filling up on it before you even realize, maybe this is poison. Maybe yeah. this actually isn't what I wanted or needed in the first place, but you were so thirsty, you just wanted mm-hmm. the liquid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I heard somebody say, I don't know, I was listening to a podcast, but they're saying how with the world of dating apps, it also becomes very difficult because it's what seems to happen is you, let's say, you know, and I'm curious your opinion about this. You go on a date, mm-hmm. And you have an experience with a dinner, whatever, with a person. And then by the time you get home, you're already back on the app, even if you had a great time and that yep. might, you know, and you're back on the app. So you're already distracted by what else could be out there mm-hmm. versus back in the day when you'd go, you know, when there was no social media and you'd kind of go on a date and you just kind of process and you're like, what do I really think about this person? We don't have time to even process that. We're just back on it mm-hmm. and back distracted. And I kind of, you know, after I was thinking, I was like, well, that will create this notion of there could always be something better.
Yes.
So what do you have to say on that?
Yeah, I hear, and your example that you're sharing, I hear our attention deficit issues. I hear the need, the pull, the craving for instant gratification on a whole nother level. Then I'm a 70s mm. baby and we dealt with instant gratification too. But this is a whole nother level because I don't have to wait 3, 4, 5 days for you to call me. I can just, all right, fool, mm. you missing out. Okay. Like let me, you know, go and play all those games. It definitely adds to the distraction and the superficialness of connecting more mm-hmm. than anything. Like I have a lot of favorite words, but one of my favorite words is intimacy, mm-hmm. which is just deeper connection. And yes, intimacy can include sex if it's a romantic or a consensual, hopefully, relationship. Mm-hmm. But there's 12 different types of intimacy. Sex mm-hmm. is just one. Emotional intimacy is the one that most people secondarily think of outside of physical or sexual intimacy. But there's also like recreational intimacy where we get to play together, aesthetic intimacy where we get to create or move through beauty together, communication. Mm. Uh-oh, here's that C word. Communication intimacy where we learn to speak each other's language or at least listen for the nuances of what I don't understand and ask for clarification. There's conflict intimacy of how we navigate difficult situations when it's not all rainbows and butterflies. And there's even crisis intimacy when there's like something major happening, like Lord forbid a tornado comes and who's showing up for you versus it's like, oh, sorry for you, sending you prayers, right? Put a dollar in the GoFundMe, but that's the energy that people have. And all of that shows up in that example that you're talking about with like the dating game right now in today's 2023 and beyond world because people get to stay very superficial and not go deep. Deepen your connection, deepen your relationship with the people who are in your ecosystem that you believe are good people, you believe are healthy people. No one's perfect unless you're dead in the ground and you can't make no more mistakes, right? But outside of that, if you have people in your ecosystem that you want to deepen, deepen those relationships and be surprised at who they're connected to that now can also come into your ecosystem. And it doesn't have to be their BFF, but it may be someone that's connected to a connection and you do things like, I don't know, go out, go to a brunch with friends when you were so booked and busy for the last 6 months, you weren't able to do it. But then you're saying, I don't have anyone to play with. I don't have any, I don't have that person for me. Well, they're not going to necessarily knock on your door. Maybe they will, but it's rare that someone will knock on the door and say, hey, I'm someone you can trust. Invite me in to sit on your couch and we can deepen our connection. Mm-hmm. You have to take that risk in stepping out of the bubble, that boundary that people have made so rigid that they've created to protect themselves because of all that calcified chaos of mistrust and betrayal from previous relationships or attachment issues and disappointment and the fear of rejection. Like all of those things are why we don't step out and say, you know what, there's something new waiting and let me deepen with who I know versus assuming that it's a stranger that I haven't met yet.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm also curious what kind of comes to mind is, so we have this, I don't know what's it even called, but we have this idea these days, I guess, as men and women, where we have a lot of women that are much more independent than they were in the past, right? Mm-hmm. Financial independent, career driven, kind of some of the examples you've given in the beginning. So, and then it seems like there's this, so it's, you have this shift in terms of dynamics, right? In the household even sometimes. Yeah. And so, and it's almost like an imbalance because you have on one side, women that are very self-driven, said, but then on the other side, men that are like, well, wait a minute, right? You know, and as a woman, you're kind of found in this like, well, okay, how do I balance? How do I have it all essentially, or can I have it all? And there are, and again, I'm just generalizing, but there are, you know, of course, men that are very knowing how to manage a career woman, right? And vice versa, so they know how to manage each other in that way. But then there's many that are just simply, you know, like not there for it. And so it's, and on the women's side as well, it's like, well, you know, I'm very successful, so I need somebody to be even more uber successful than me. So, do you get what I'm saying? Like, there's so many, like, there's so much happening just with the fact that women are becoming more independent and financially driven and et cetera, and just career driven, business driven. Yeah. And it seems to change the dynamics of just men and women interactions, right?
Yeah, it does. And that's another like powerful analogy that you're using on both ends. There are the men who are deflated is the word that's coming to mind, that are deflated by the idea that their woman or a woman could make more money than them or have a more robust schedule even, because it may not just be about the finances that are in the bank. It could literally, I'm actually thinking about a couple that I work with quite a while. That man makes more money than most humans walking around, but he has a very loose schedule because he has equity in a lot of businesses that he doesn't have to be in and do all the things. So he can, you know, if he wanted to, he could lay up for 12 hours a day and not do anything but check a half an hour worth of emails. But she has multi-million dollar businesses that require her to be in it and on and traveling and doing all the things. And in and of itself, that creates some challenges because he's like, oh, will you be home for dinner? Will you be home for this? Or I want to hop a plane and go here. She's like, yeah, but I'm in Texas, you know, or I need to be there, or there's a crisis happening at work. So it can definitely happen, just speaking on the men's part, not just because of the money per se, but also because of the availability and the accessibility. And that example, if it's not just about the money, because if it is just about the money, that's an ego issue that man needs some healing, right? He has some work to do, and you cannot fix or change anyone. Because the minute that you do that, they resent you for the fixing.
Right.
You will fix them right on up, and they will move a couple of pebbles down the road to find someone who doesn't know their dirt, who wasn't in the process of their mess with them, because every time they look at you, even though you help them grow, they're seeing you as someone who sees the older, yuckier version of themselves that they can't face in the mirror. Do not fix people.
That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, support them, guide them, direct them to people who can also do the things for them, but do not attempt to actually fix anyone. And I mean that for professionals as well. Mm-hmm. I don't fix any of the power couples or potent humans that I work with, but I do support and I guide them. And every once in a while, I drop something that's so amazingly brilliant that they wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. But that was part of the exception, not the rule. I want them to truly heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm just part of the process. For the man who's not deflated because of the money, but is deflated because of the access and availability, sometimes that's a communication and intimacy issue where we just have to get creative about the time that we do have. Does she only have 20 minutes that day? Well, we can make that 20 minutes and he can have an orgasm and everything else, and they might not even be in the same state or country. Mm-hmm. We can make that work. We just have to be creative, right? Mm-hmm. And then he feels heard, he feels seen, he feels appreciated, right? But that's assuming that it's not an ego driven, just have to be here next to me in the seat on the couch, or I know that you're in the house waiting for me. Mm-hmm. That's a different issue. For the women, which comes up so often, Elena, so often, such a powerful question. With the women who are like, listen, I'm not trying to grow a baby up. I want to meet a man who's either at or above my level, in my career goals, in my ambition at least, and is ready to go get it because I'm trying to build, and I don't want someone who's trying to have me barefoot and pregnant and not able to do anything because it makes them feel more like a man. Obviously, if that latter person I'm talking about, they need healing, just like the man who's led by their ego. But for the women who are really challenged with attracting this person, part of it is we have to look at what's happening in our blockers that we're projecting. Because sometimes we walk in a room and we make an assumption. There's, I can't think of his name right now. I feel like it's Jesse. I apologize. Sarah Blake, I think is her name, who owns...
Spanx,
yes. And I think
yes, it's Jesse.
He just did a post recently on your not so favorite platform, Instagram, where he was in some fancy hotel somewhere, and he's just in, you know, he works out a lot, he does other things. So he's in a regular khaki button shirt that's open with a t-shirt under and some jeans and a little
with a delivery hat, bag.
With a delivery bag, right? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And they assumed that he was the delivery guy and that he didn't, you know, reside or was staying in the hotel. And that those assumptions you have to be really careful of. And here they are billionaires, right? Like they own multiple businesses and all of it. But sometimes we as women who are very ambitious and, you know, pencil skirt and pearls and red bottom heels and all that, we will walk right past a man like that thinking, and sometimes we project that. So of course, if you're projecting something that's pushing away your match or your possible match, you got to take ownership. That comes right back to that self-awareness and self-realization. It doesn't mean that you're doing that with every single thing, but we do want to be mindful of our own assumptions and presumptions that we're making across every area of our life in that way. And we're showing up with this air, this posturing about us that makes even the greatest next best lover that will have us screaming all night long and have us building businesses say, she cold. And you hear that, right? She cold. She's unavailable emotionally. She that's not someone I want to play with. And I mean that in the best way.
Right.
And it's true because we've been raised in a society of business where you have to be hard. The more like a man you are, the more you're respected in the business world, which that has to change. And only we as the women who are powerful and blossoming in our careers can actually pivot that whole conventional wisdom.
And I love that you brought that up because I feel that there is power in that femininity that we bring to the leadership roles, to, you know, just us as a woman, there's so much you bring, and that you don't always have to. And I think we kind of did it to ourselves. It's like, no, what nobody told us. It's just we assume that because we're going to do business deal with a bunch of men, in order for us to be taken seriously, we have to do X, Y, and Z. And like, and yes, certain situations you do feel like that, but you do for sure. You're like, well, like, I feel like I'm not being taken seriously, but that's, personally, I don't feel that should dictate how I change myself. Like maybe I'm just in the wrong crowd, or I don't know. I mean, it's I've been in those situations, but I don't think that becoming more masculine in that way is the answer necessarily, because it helps. Then you kind of lose yourself, I feel. But that's just my personal. I mean, everybody feels different, but
I agree with you in that you lose yourself, and then we resent ourselves and we shame ourselves because we feel so disconnected from ourselves. Mm. And, you know, again, and it's not a blaming, because I want everyone listening to hear me. I'm not blaming you for what has occurred. I just want you to take ownership and responsibility for where you are. So now we can course correct it. Now we can do the healing. Now we can do the forgiveness work, which really is where we need to start after you're aware. Okay, let's forgive yourself for your role in it. So now we can get to the deeper layers of what was going on and how that window got open in the first place to go back to that metaphor.
And it's interesting because I have a good friend of mine. She works in construction. And so she's in a corporate office. And she, of course, works with a lot of men who are very, you know, have big egos and really have something to prove. And it's always like fighting in the office, you know, and she's like, and, you know, I'm trying to get her back into the dating scene and just kind of put herself out there a little bit more. And she's like, Elena, she's like, by the time I deal with all these men at work, she was like, I can't even imagine having to come home and deal with somebody. And I'm like, no, it's like, that's not how you should be looking at it. Right. So, and I feel like a lot of women do feel this way. So what do you say to somebody who's like, you know, what's a tip to like, you know, what's the first step to like, I guess, separating the two in a way that's effective?
Honestly, it's looking at your non-negotiable, right? Which first, you know, if I had to go first, besides the self-awareness, is creating your balance with that truth, admitting what you really want over the boundaries that you're creating. And in that, it's what's your non-negotiable? My non-negotiable, backing up, you should not have a list of non-negotiables that's longer than your skirt or your pants or your leg or your arm, right? That means you need to go get some therapy, right? Because you got too many things that are blocking you into a suffocating bubble, and you're calling them boundaries. You're saying that this is just how you are. And that's not okay. If you're a person who believes that you arrive at a place, you evolve and you expand, and you arrive and evolve and expand, right? Like as we all do, if you're trying to self-actualize and optimize in every area of your life. But having at least one to two is very optimal. Three is stretching it. Like we're stretching it with three non-negotiables, but having that allows you the flexibility of now looking at where this human can fit in your life as long as they don't cross that non-negotiable. My non-negotiable with my husband of 28 years was very simple. Never make me feel unsafe. Ever. And I don't just mean it physically. I mean it in every way. You're looking at a woman with a lot of trauma history. I cannot be responsible for stabbing you in the throat if you make me feel unsafe. So we don't unlock that. All the therapy that I got, all the coaching, all the spiritual, like all the things. So we don't dredge up that human that's done so much work. Don't make me feel unsafe. And we can, not that you don't get a pass for cheating. You don't get a pass for having an outburst. You don't get a pass for being mean on just a day when your system was dysregulated. But that's not a non-negotiable. We can work with those things up to a point. I mean, infidelity, we in the street. But outside, you know, outside of that, I'm not necessarily saying divorce papers in the relationship don't speak to me. So just knowing what your non-negotiable is really important. And for some women, they don't want to feel like they can't trust you. Like on any level, like, don't make me feel like I need to look at your phone or go into your DMs or that we can't be at a party and you're just, you know, talking because you're talking too long over there at the wine and cheese table with the hostess or whatever. Just know your non-negotiable is really helpful. And then to use your example of your friend, who I lovingly say this to, because I'm sure she listens and supports your podcast. I would say if you realize that these high testosterone level humans, these men that you're working with, are not your cup of tea, then you want to attract someone who's more balanced in their masculine and feminine energy, right? Like if they're yelling, fussing, cussing, you know, constantly, like if they're constantly in that and you're like, I'm over it, I don't want to do it. Look at what you admire about it, first and foremost. Like maybe you admire the fact that there's assumed safety in their physical presence because of their high testosterone. Maybe there's strength. Maybe they have muscles, you know, all of those things that might come with that package. And I guarantee you that in a more balanced way, knowing what the other side of that is, that you want someone who's listening, someone who's going to rub your feet, someone who's going to take care of dinner when you had a long day, baby, you know, like that, they exist. 1,000% they exist. Absolutely. But you have to want it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before I ask you my last question, I see this book behind you. Talk to me about the book. Talk to us a little bit more about kind of what you're doing. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to just, if any of somebody's listening, like, oh my God, we have to talk to her.
Thank you. So Selfish is not a how-to book. It is my survivor's memoir and my personal transformation story. The full title, you can see Selfish, but underneath it's Permission to Pause, Live, Love, and Laugh Your Way to Joy. It is me sharing all my mess, like all of the, I'm gonna cut you and stab you in the throat. If you open this box, I share the box and what's in it, at least most of what I could contain in 200 and some pages. My hope for writing it, I released it right at the top of 2020. Who knew a pandemic, right? But when I released it, my hope was to release specifically other women who were trapped in all of that trauma stuck in their body. And it was showing up in ways that the world patted them on the back through their ambition, but their ambition was where they got to hide from the healing, which is exactly what I was doing with all my degrees and all my certifications and all my licensees and all the things. It was a really incredibly sharp weapon. And that's ultimately what I was. I had to do the work to do the healing, to release myself. And in order to do that, I needed space. So that's why I say, be intentionally selfish, because you need the space. You got to slow down a little bit to say, okay, I need 20 minutes today before I knock somebody's feet, you know, feet across the room. Like, I need 20 minutes. I need a pause. I need to blow some bubbles. I need to dance. I need to go to my Peloton. I just need to sit here, wiggle my toes, close my eyes, whatever it is. But giving yourself that time means that you're stopping everything else. And that is the selfishness that is healthy and that is good for you to do. And of course, we can elongate it. Like, I take 6-week self-lovecations every single year. It helped my business thrive. It helped me be sane in the work that I do. And it's also something that I help a lot of other humans do, especially when they have small businesses under 50 employees. It's really easy for you and your team to be able to do it if you, you know, have the right processes in place. Where you can get in touch with me, the easiest place is honestly go to asknikita.com and get a free masterclass. Just get it. It's somewhere between 60 and 75 minutes, and it's literally helping you activate your joy. Do that and you'll kind of come into our system. If you want to go to the parent company page of thigpro.com, then by all means, come look up all the things that we do, from the Balance Bully podcast to Intentionally Selfish Show to all of it. But my gift to you is go to asknikita.com and get something that's literally just for you.
Beautiful. And I'll make sure to include it in the show notes as well for those that are listening. And last question to you is, what is one question you wish people ask themselves more often?
That's a powerful question. I think the one question, if I had to strip away all the other thoughts that are in my head, is why don't I deserve to have spaciousness?
Why don't I deserve to have spaciousness?
Yeah.
That's something to think about. That's a deep question, Nikita.
Sometimes, Elena, I can be really deep.
It's like this gem. Oh my goodness. That's a hard one to end on. Now I have to sit here a minute. I might need some help. That's a good one. That's a really good
thank
one.
You. Thank you.
Beautiful. Nikita, thank you. I could talk to you for hours, I'm sure, but I really value your time, and I very much appreciate you taking the time to share this with our audience. It's been brilliant. I'd love to have you back. I'm going to read your book, and maybe we can have another chat. I feel like there's a lot of different topics that we can cover, so I'd love to continue the discussion.
I look forward to it, hands down, no question. And thank you for hosting this space. It is needed.
Thank you.